So we are now in the final batch with myself and Liz, which is batch number 3 of local news and features. We've got 4 headlines for you, and we're also going to have the answers to Liz's one and only quiz. My headlines coming up are Thierry Alliott and Matilda, an emotional goodbye as Bauer Media axes the breakfast show for Signal Radio, and peeved Peter hired Skip for one day, now he can't get it shifted off his drive. And Liz's headlines are:
Port Merion boss offers Stoke factory jobs hope after challenging few years. Disgraceful vandal hit War Memorial Garden to get much needed makeover.
Okay, so now we're going to have the one and only quiz with Liz. Answers?
Number 1, which is the most frequently broken bone in the human body? Now, I've broken both my wrists, so I thought the answer was wrist. What does Tim think?
I'd say wrist.
The answer is clavicle, which
Where's
is
that?
The collarbone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. Number 2. What vegetable is the major ingredient of an Asian deep piazza dish? The answer is onion. Number 3. What robust but flexible wood is used by Fender to make guitars and by Morgan to produce sports cars frames? And that is ash. Number 4. According to the poet Keats, which biblical character stood in tears amid the alien corn? That was Ruth. Didn't she go with her mother-in-law when she could have gone back to her home or something? Whilst thy country is my country. I can quote from the Bible. That's amazing. But yes, it's Ruth. I think I'm quoting correctly, by the way. I haven't read that since I was about 10. Number 5. Which creatures make up 1/5 of mammal species? Now, I put this in because if I think it's too hard, I won't put it in. But I guessed this with my partner on Saturday, and I guessed correctly. The answer is bats. Number 6. At 410 miles, what is the UK's longest road? Anyone know? I'm looking at Tim. He's shaking his head. My partner got this right. You see, I test these out on a Saturday with my partner. The answer is the A1. Number 7. Which band did Quincy Jones call the worst musicians in the world? He called the Beatles the worst musicians in the world. Who's heard of Quincy Jones and who's heard of the Beatles, eh, Quincy? Number 8. Which main river runs through the city of Baghdad? It's the Tigris. Number 9. In astronomy, which constellation is famous for both its belt and its sword? That's Orion. Number 10. Oh, I thought this, the answer to this would be Irish. The majority of the steerage, and that's the third class passengers on the Titanic, were of what nationality? So I'm going to ask Tim. I gave you a little clue. It's not Irish.
What's the question again?
Oh, it shows he's not listening. The
I
majority,
was reading my next story.
The majority of the steerage, that's the third class passengers on the Titanic, were of what nationality?
Scottish.
No. They went from Southampton. That'd be miles away. Although it comes
Welsh.
Back Swedish.
Swedish?
Yeah, Swedish.
I didn't know that either.
No, well, you learn something every day is a school day.
We always do in trivia quizzes.
Bonus. Which admission of humility attributed to the 16th century preacher John Bradford begins, "There but for the grace of God go I"?
Well, there you go. Great questions, and hope you answered those well. And you got loads right. If not, have a go at Timbo's trivia. And also the one and only quiz with Liz next time. So my first story now is Thierry Alliott and Matilda gave an emotional goodbye as Bauer Media axes the breakfast show on Signal, which is now called, what's it called? Hits Radio, is it? Yeah, or something like that. Anyway, DJs Alliott Holman and Matilda Newthorpe have paid a true tribute to sensational Staffordshire as part of their emotional goodbyes on the last ever Signal Radio breakfast show. This morning, which is last week, I think it was Friday morning, and the Much Loved Duo hung up their headphones and flicked off the microphones for good as the axe has fallen on breakfast shows across the country. As part of their sign-off, the pair thanked listeners and admitted they'll never find a job quite like it. As reported recently by Stoke-on-Trent Live, it comes as Bauer Media is replacing regional breakfast shows with a national programme hosted by Fleur East, Will Best and James Barr. It means the end of an era for Signal, now known as Hits Radio Staffordshire and Cheshire, which has been a platform of local entertainment for decades. It also follows the closure of the Stoke Road Studios, meaning the show was hosted elsewhere. There were tears and hugs as Elliot and Matilda said goodbye to each other and their army of loyal listeners. Matilda said, "It feels mad to put into words just how much this has meant for both of us professionally and personally. I have worked in different places, but I must say nobody has ever made me feel as listened to and heard as Elliot Holdman. I have loved it, and you will never find a job more special than this. And thank you for turning up every day. Staffordshire and Cheshire, what a beautiful, part of the world to be part of it all." Elliot said, "I got a best friend out of it, and that means the world. It's the end, but it's the end of an incredible journey we have been on together, and you'll never know how much it means to us that you deemed us worthy of your ears. Thanks for being here every morning and tolerating us despite what you were going through and the battles you had. Staffordshire and Cheshire, we did it together. I have loved it so much. Thank you from the bottom of my heart." Following the final song that they played, Miles Smith's Stargazing, Matilda added, "Thank you, we're not worthy. Carry on being brilliant, fun and just sensational in everything you do. Long live Staffordshire and Cheshire." So over to Liz, who's going to do the next story now in batch number three.
Port Merion boss offers Stoke factory jobs hope after challenging few years. The CEO of pottery giant Port Merion says the aim is to more than double the current rate of production at its Stoke factory, which would in turn lead to new jobs being created. After a challenging 2024, Mike Raybould wants to get back to and eventually surpass the previous production levels for its branded tableware products. Last year saw just 26% of Port Merion tableware made at its London Road factory, which was partly blamed on a much tougher consumer market. Further Port Merion job losses were announced earlier this year following redundancies in 2024 and the switch to a four-day working week. But after a positive start to trading in 2025 and on the back of its iconic brand Spode enjoying a fourth consecutive year of growth, the pottery giant is now pledging to increase production in the city over the next 2 years. Currently, its products are predominantly produced in Asia, with some also made in Europe. Outlining the company's strategy, Mike said, "Over the last 10 years, 40 to 50% of our branded tableware products have been produced in Stoke-on-Trent. Last year was abnormally low due to challenges with demand in Asia and South Korea. We want to get that back up. There is no fixed number, but the aspiration is to get back up to those previous levels and more than that. We'll work with our existing workforce, but to reach that, we would need to hire at certain points. We have to start from where we are. It's tough. There is no sugarcoating it. That said, we want to do our part in trying to promote Stoke-on-Trent. Our aspiration is to make more products here, and if we can get government support, then there is a real positive opportunity for the business to grow. We're going to have to do our part. We have the skills in this city. There is nowhere with a better skill set in ceramics. Work to increase production levels at the London Road factory is already underway with the iconic Spode Christmas tree collection, hugely popular in the United States, currently being made at the site. We want to make most, if not all of it in Stoke this year," confirmed Mike. It was an opportunity to bring production back. We're making it right now. A key element to increasing the production levels is securing government support. Mike said, "It's been an extremely challenging few years for the industry, with soaring energy prices, wider cost pressures, and stringent net zero timelines and requirements. It's not a level playing field. We've had to do what we can to work in that very tough environment. We've had to reduce the workforce, but that's not where we want to be. It's our responsibility to ensure Stoke-on-Trent's legacy of craft continues to thrive for generations to come. That's why we continue to call for meaningful government support, including a fairer deal on energy costs and temporary exemption from climate change requirements, whilst grants are put into place to support the sector's transition to cleaner technology. As we continue to execute on our own growth plans, this targeted support would be invaluable in helping to ensure a more sustainable future for the British pottery and ceramics industry. As the city celebrates its centenary year, Port Merion has launched a Made in Stoke-on-Trent backstamp and refresh logo to help promote Stoke-on-Trent to the world. Mike said, "We sell Spode products all around the world. It's an example of our quality and heritage. We are changing the backstamp to recognise that. I want people around the world to see that it's made in Stoke-on-Trent. It's part of our DNA. We want to do our part in trying to promote the city."
Wonderful stuff, interesting story there. So my final story now in batch number three is peeved Peter hired a skit for one day, now he can't get rid of it. A homeowner is considering taking legal action to try to get a skit shifted off his drive. Peter Critchley paid £200 to hire the skit from Staffordshire Waste Recycling Centre in Longport for a day, but more than a month later it still remains stuck on his Norton driveway. It comes as Staffordshire Waste Recycling Centre has had its general waste permit suspended by the Environment Agency since April. Peter, age 42, said, "We were just having a good clear out. We were getting rid of some stuff of our old wardrobes and having a good spring clean. We found we actually had quite a bit to get rid of, so we hired a skip for the weekend. We literally only needed it for the day because everything was already in the back garden ready to go. I ran them to pick it up and they said, yeah, no problem. It didn't happen that day, but I thought, okay, fair enough, the weekend's coming, it'll be Monday or Tuesday, but then I just heard nothing and they didn't arrive." Peter struggles to walk due to a neurological disorder. He says the situation has taken a physical and financial toll on his everyday life. "It's been an absolute nightmare," he explained. "I can't walk very far, so I need my drive. I can't plug in my electric car. I'm having to pay four times as much to charge it at a public charging point, and some days now I'm having to get my wheelchair out just to get up my drive, but I should be able to get out of my car and walk into my own house without having to do that. It's an absolute joke. I'm looking into whether it's worth getting solicitors involved because the cost is just ridiculous. I've paid £200 to have a skip for a day and now I'm having to fork out £20 a week extra recharging my car. How am I going to get reimbursed for all of this?" Stoke-on-Trent Live has approached Staffordshire Waste Recycling Centre for a comment regarding the current situation. Its website states, "There may be delays in skip collections until further notice. We kindly ask that customers continue to work with us for skip collections as arranging alternative disposal or third-party operators may lead to complications, including potential legal ramifications. Your patience and cooperation during this time is greatly appreciated, and we are committed to restoring full operations as soon as possible while ensuring compliance with all regulations." An Environment Agency spokesperson said that Staffordshire Waste Recycling Centre is storing more waste than it is authorised by the conditions of its environmental permit and in a manner that poses a serious risk of pollution. "We have therefore suspended one of the company's two environmental permits and are taking action to encourage the company to keep the amount of waste it stores within acceptable limits." So that's my final story, but over to Liz, who's going to do the final story for us now in batch number three of local news and features.
Disgraceful vandal hit War Memorial Garden to get much needed makeover. Families have welcomed plans to make improvements to a memorial garden which has become a magnet for antisocial behaviour. Tunstall Memorial Garden, situated between the town centre and Tunstall Park, has become a hangout place for youths, drug users and the homeless. Weapons and drug paraphernalia are often found in the overgrown shrubbery, and a pavilion has been the subject of vandalism and arson attacks. Now Stoke-on-Trent City Council is planning to give the garden an upgrade through environmental works and grassing open areas to give it a safer feel. CCTV and lighting will also be installed. Other work could include securing the site around the pavilion, improving the entrance gates and railings, demolition of the toilet block, commissioning new locally inspired murals, installing heritage style bifolding gating to the interior of the building, and installing lighting around pathways and to light up the murals. Residents in the town have welcomed the improvements. Ian Walklett, age 83, said the state of the garden was bloody disgraceful. He said, they use it for football, cricket, kicking footballs around the cenotaph. It's a disgrace. They have a memorial for soldiers killed in the First and Second World Wars. Last time I looked at it, that was a disgrace. It is not in the best condition. They had a chap to do murals on the wall. They were only there for 5 minutes and they started vandalising them. They have got a big park with a football pitch and everything, but they insist on coming here. Stephen Hall, age 58, of John Roadsway, Sandyford, who grew up in Tunstall, added, I welcome the council doing something about it. CCTV would be a deterrent. Tunstall felt a lot safer when I was growing up. We used to go to the park. We never used to play football in the Memorial Park. It was a cherished area. The scheme is being funded by the Design Out Crime and ASB and Public Realm streams of the Levelling Up programme. A report to Stoke-on-Trent City Council states, the aim of the improvements would be to restore a more formal civic character to the garden, improving public access and footfall and reducing the occurrence of antisocial behaviour. The improvements would complement the proposed development of the former public baths and library. The garden has been subject to significant and worsening antisocial behaviour issues in recent years, with weapons and drug paraphernalia regularly found in the overgrown shrubbery. To address the issues, it is proposed to restore the original open character of the garden through environmental works and grassing open areas. The works will provide better views into and across the gardens, allowing passive and CCTV surveillance and thereby reducing both crime and the fear of crime. Lighting will be installed around the walkways to further enhance visibility, and low-level solar LED lighting will be used to light up and showcase the new murals. There is a pavilion building which includes open-fronted spaces, decorative iron archways and two memorial murals. In recent years, arson, vandalism and rough sleeping have taken place in the building. The murals are now fire damaged and covered in graffiti, and adding to the disrepair of the location, which has created an environment for antisocial behaviour. A public consultation is taking place on the future of the toilet blocks, with demolition a consideration. Under the Safer Streets project, low-level improvement works have been commissioned to provide a basis on which to continue improving the structure and grounds. This includes improvements to the roof, guttering, metalwork, floor, fascias, along with some essential tree and shrubbery reduction. And that's the end of my last story.